You know, water is something that you can't live without. It's essential for life, and when in short supply, can cause people to make some strange decisions. I don't know if you ventured out yesterday to do some shopping, or happened to drive by Costco to see the long lines, but that's not really what I'm talking about today. I'm referring to the people of Israel from our reading from Exodus 17. We're going to be looking at that Old Testament reading and our gospel lesson today if you want to flip through at the appropriate times. God's people in the wilderness, a crisis was at hand. The future did not look very bright. It's not unlike our world today. God's people were in the desert. There was no water to drink. The people had left behind a land that was filled with water. It was filled with food and had everything that they thought they wanted. And now here they stand in the hot sun. They begin to complain. They're thirsty. They pick up stones to hurl at their leader, Moses. And what they thought they needed was nowhere to be found. I don't know if you felt that way a little bit this week. I know I have. I know we collectively have as a society the fear and anxiety that has gripped us. We seem to look for things that we think we need when God gives us everything we do need. In the desert for God's people, it came from an unexpected place. As they gathered next to a rock, Moses strikes it with a staff and water flows and the people then are satisfied. The rock flows with God's generosity of giving and changed everything for his people in the middle of crisis. Those people who were wandering in the desert, he provided all that they needed. And spoiler alert, he'll does it for us too. There's a man who sits solemnly in the pew, listening to the sermon Sunday after Sunday. He greets the pastor in the back on the way out, but rarely does he start a conversation. And from the outside, things seem to be going rather well. Yet week after week, as he sits in God's house, he struggles. He struggles with loneliness and fear and depression. A list of things that he has done wrong swirls in his head. His marriage, his children, his job, and it all seems so overwhelming. As he clicks on the news or flips through his phone, it just gets worse. You know, they say that still waters run deep, and if an honest conversation would be had with this man, you would find that beneath his calm demeanor and his polite greetings lay a desert of depression, troubling his soul, bringing fear of the future. The people of Israel, their need, this man in the pew, his need, mirrors those of our needs. For the man in the pew, it was not necessarily a physical desert, but a spiritual desert. Not a particular place, but just as real and just as profound and just as dry. Yet still waters run deep. The people in the wilderness had a deep need. The man sitting in the pew had a deep need, and you have a deep need. Yet deeper still runs the Word of God, so deep that it has the power to restore your soul. For the generosity that is shown to us in Christ changes everything. The woman in our gospel lesson knew this all too well. She knew it personally. She was in need of generosity. Now, we didn't hear all of the details that we get in the scripture about this encounter, but I'm sure you've heard of them before. The woman came to the well to draw water in the middle of the day. She'd been practicing some social distancing. She had distanced herself from people. Now, this moment at the well was not one of rest or relaxation. It was work. It was hard work, but it was made harder by the burdens that she carried. The men she had known, or rather the men who had known her, had used her and dismissed her with certificates of divorce. She, so marked was she by all of these marriages that the man who was now with her would not even give her the honor of being called her husband. She was living with that man, not her husband. Again, more social distancing. He was just one more man in a line of men taking her and using her and leaving her, each time a little less human in the eyes of others. She lived a life of social distancing, some by choice, but most by circumstance. She came to the well in the heat of the day, wanting water and to be left alone. But what she needed was sitting right there. It was a word that gave life. What she needed was the generosity of giving that would change everything for her and restore her soul. Which kind of begs the question, how do you restore a soul? The body, we understand, the body can be healed. A surgeon's hand can cut flesh and open it up and reach in and do what is necessary. But your soul is a little different matter. It cannot be seen. It cannot be touched by human hands. It cannot be examined by the operating table. Yet it too feels the touch of life. Abuse that ends one's childhood too early, a miscarriage that abruptly ends one's hope of being a parent, divorce that tears a marriage apart, a pandemic sweeping the globe and fear of what tomorrow holds. These things cut deeper than a surgeon's knife, touching the soul, making it restless, longing for life as God meant it to be. And boy, we might be longing for what it was just a few weeks ago. St. Augustine said, "You made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." So this one woman at this one well is not the only one who longs for restoration. We all are living lives of restlessness and fear, and we are in need of a generous and giving God who comes to us. It could be that time at 3 a.m. where you're wide awake, thinking about what is going to happen tomorrow or the next day. It could be at 3 p.m. as you worry about going home to a fractured family, wondering if it's ever going to turn around. It could be at noon and the fear of the future overwhelms you. The plans that you made just hours ago have changed yet again. It could be in the evening as the sun sets and you hang up the phone as you've heard that the diagnosis is positive. Restlessness flows like an undercurrent of life, pulling us down, dragging us in, making us weary and fearful of living even as we go through the normal motions of the day. To the people of Israel, to the man and woman sitting in the pew, to the woman at the well, and to you, the giver comes. John doesn't speak of Jesus as the good shepherd in this passage, but perhaps it's a good analogy for us to think about it. A shepherd who knows the sheep are weary and filled with fear. He comes to generously give care, sharing the water of life. In this place, he shares of himself. In, with, and under, the bread and the wine put in your hands, taken into you to bring you forgiveness of sin, to free you from fear. The Lord is my shepherd. We know the words. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Today we see Jesus coming as a shepherd, sitting beside still waters, restoring your soul. Jesus begins a conversation with this weary woman, and he offers her water. living water. She doesn't quite understand. How can he offer a drink when he doesn't even have a bucket? Is he greater than her father Jacob? Well, we know the answer, don't we? Yes, he is. He is greater because he is Jacob's Lord. The water he offers is not from any well on earth. It comes from a well inside of him. Jesus, the source of all living water, his life, his death, and his resurrection provide a life-giving stream. I find it interesting that John is the gospel writer who records that Jesus cries out, "I thirst." As the tables are turned at his crucifixion and on the cross, he becomes the thirsty one, longing for life, but clinging to death so that you might have life, bearing our suffering, enduring our shame, giving his all, and he endures the ultimate social distancing as he is forsaken by his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? And as he enters the depths of hell itself and dies in our place so that he might rise and offer you his eternal life-giving stream that changes everything for you, that restores your soul, that destroys fear. Jesus sits by the well as your good shepherd, coming to offer life-giving stream. He provided it for his people in the desert, for the woman at the well, for you sitting here, and for all of the Bethany family that is away from here. He provides. He is the generous giver. But think for a moment just about her experience. For once in her life, the woman finally meets a man who gives rather than takes. And think about what he gives. He gives everything. He makes her a child of God. Jesus went against the social norms of the day, and instead of distancing himself, he comes to her personally, deeply, lovingly, and intentionally. And he does the same for you. The honor she finds in Jesus then frees her to speak in hope of the Messiah. The life she finds in Jesus is a gift that will never go away, but she now wants to give it away. The generosity of Jesus that became hers changed everything. She arose from the edge of the well with her soul restored, her life changed, her fear faded, and she becomes the generous giver. Listen to text again. The woman left her water jar and went back into the city. She told the people, "Come with me and meet the man who told me everything I'd ever done." Could he be the Messiah? Listen to the response. The people left the city and went to meet Jesus. His generosity of giving to her changed everything. And then, in turn, her generosity of giving changed everything for those who met Jesus. Giving produces giving. As we talk about giving proportionately, we understand that our gifts come about in response to what the giver has already given us. We've heard it before. You can say it with me. Our stuff is not our stuff. But the stuff we have been given is in turn to be given away so that others may see Jesus. Your time, your talents, your treasures given away like the woman at the well so that people can see Jesus and the renaissance of souls can take place. Your financial gifts, your gifts of time and talent are by ways which others come to meet Jesus. Your generosity of giving can change everything for others. Now we need to understand your gifts are not given to appease a jealous God. He was appeased when Christ called out, "It is finished." No, your gifts are shared and to change everything for others, so they can see Jesus. It can be dollars in the offering plate. It can be time spent on a mission trip. It can be your talent shared at worship or at the foot of a hospital bed. It can be in your vocation as you serve your neighbor by doing the very best that you can in the job that God has given you. It can be done in your family as you give time and words of love and grace to your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, and your loved ones. Now, it's true we might have to give up meeting together for the health and safety of others for a little while. But the generosity of God spans any social distance for you. The generosity of God flows from us to others, and it changes everything. In this time when many seem to be hoarding and turning inward, we as the redeemed and loved children of God can in confidence become generous givers to the suffering, be it because of illness or adversity, sickness or disease. For he's still there, the giver, the good shepherd. He's sitting by the well. At that well where with a splash of water and his name you were called a child of God. The words of our Lord run deep, deeper than any of your troubles, deeper than any of your fears, deep enough to conquer hell itself so that you might rise from the depths with Christ in life. Christ calls out, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Today, Jesus comes to change everything. He comes in the words and the work of others to restore your soul so that in turn your generosity may flow from Christ to others so that they can see Jesus, so that they too can be restored. This changes everything. This is what giving is all about. Now let me close with these wonderful words of Christ. "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, overcome the world." We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for not distant time of social distancing, Lord. Bridge the gap for the lonely, the ill, the fearful, and bring to us everything that we need, for your word changes everything. Lord, help us to be generous givers, that in a time of crisis or need, we can be ones who can give. Give of our time, our talents, and our treasures so that others may see Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.